Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Happy to have you with us this evening here at your local liberal resistance headquarters, where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. Thank you for joining us this evening. If you'd like to reach out, our studio lines are open. You can reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com, on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Reach out. Would love to connect with you. A couple of quick programming notes. Next week, we will be on immediately following the Kansas City Chiefs post-game show. So we'll be a little late, preempted a little bit, but we will still be here with you next Sunday. Just be a little late. Usually that start time will be around 7:45, 7:30, 7:45, but we'll still be with you next Sunday. Also, don't forget to listen to the carry-on commentaries that now air daily, three times a day, featuring yours truly for a 60-second daily feature. You'll hear those three times a day, Monday through Friday, right here on KNSS. Sedgwick County Republican Party Grand Old Picnic coming up on September 21st, and a vice presidential debate watch party coming up October 1st. Make sure to mark your calendar for both of those. And Tucker Carlson making an appearance here at Intrust Bank Arena on Friday, September 13th, with special guest Charlie Kirk. And we're going to give away two tickets to that event coming up later in the show, so you don't want to miss that. And it's going to be a great show, by the way. Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins will be with us to share his thoughts on the recent news. Governor Kelly announced that August sales tax collections surpassed estimates by $23 million. And, of course, she just wants to spend it all. Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice will join us to discuss a story that broke recently that shows multiple school districts in Kansas and Missouri have implemented policies permitting students to keep their gender identity hidden from their parents. Author Daniel Greenfield will expose how less than a week before 9/11, Islamist sympathizers have marched through downtown Manhattan. Law enforcement veteran Michael Letts will join us to discuss how the shutdown of Marble Hill, Missouri Police Department may be the result of the defund the police movement. You gotta love that. We'll resume our candidate profiles with Jeff Blubaugh, who's running for Sedgwick County Commission District 2. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. I'm sure you heard the news this week, but Democrats are crowing because there have been a few Republicans who are endorsing and have announced publicly that they're going to vote for cackling Kamala Harris. Notably, former Vice President Dick Cheney announced this week, and he is that he's voting for Kamala Harris. His daughter Elizabeth Cheney announced she too has endorsed Harris. Of course, nobody was surprised to hear that last one. She's a bitter shrew who lost her reelection over by 37 points and is now the rhino poster child for Trump derangement syndrome. Nobody cares what Elizabeth Cheney has to say. Former President George W. Bush, for his part, has finally released a statement about he will be supporting in November. A spokesperson told the Daily Mail on Saturday that neither the former president nor his wife, Laura Bush, were planning on announcing who they will be voting for. So they didn't endorse Trump. They didn't endorse Harris. They're just staying out of it. But you can read between the lines. Frankly, I don't think it matters who any of these people are voting for. Voters, by and large, could care less who former presidents and former vice presidents are supporting this election cycle. They care about the fact that groceries are up 26%. The price of a gallon of gas has gone from $2 a gallon to $6 a gallon. Electricity costs are up 25%, and the new home prices are up 46%. Every American who has suffered under the weight of this administration's failed economic policies, the past 3.5 years deserves better. That's what voters care about, not who Bush or Cheney are voting for. All that being said, it is disappointing to see Republicans once again failing to unite behind our nominees as we approach a critical election. Republicans can and should win back the White House in November if we put aside our petty differences and issues with Donald Trump's delivery, his personality, and his mean tweets, and recognize the fundamental threat that Kamala Harris and her administration are to our country. I see the federal government under Harris using its enormous powers with contempt for the government instead of with the consent of the governed as our founders envisioned. Fundamental change in America is already occurring by executive order or the force of the government's police powers instead of through the legislative process required by the Constitution. From this, I fear that free market capitalism may be replaced by big government socialism. And that, folks, is by design. And if Harris is elected, it only worsens the erosion of our rights and freedoms, including parental rights, freedom of speech and religion, and due process will invariably be next. As we approach this critical juncture, the stakes couldn't be higher. On one side, we have the prospect of a second term for Kamala Harris, a candidate who represents the policies that run counter to everything we stand for as conservatives. On the other side, we have Donald Trump, who is definitely rough around the edges, but he has proven himself to be a force in the political arena and someone who can lead our party to victory. Yet despite this clear choice, we're seeing troubling signs of division within our own ranks. Ronald Reagan once said, quote, "The person who agrees with you 80% of the time is a friend and an ally, not the 20% who disagrees." This quote is incredibly relevant right now. We are at a moment where we cannot afford to be divided over the remaining 20% that we might disagree on. We have to focus on the 80% where we align and recognize that unity is our strength. Disunity at this stage only serves to weaken our position and jeopardize our chances at success. I get it. You may disagree with Donald Trump 20% of the time. You may not like his mean tweets. He may be a bit of a jerk, but you disagree with Harris 100% of the time. Come on, folks. We're not just facing a political opponent. We're facing an agenda that threatens to undo the progress we've made and impose policies that will further erode our freedoms and our economic stability. Kamala Harris, with her track record and her progressive vision, is not merely a candidate we disagree with. She embodies a radical shift that could have lasting and detrimental impacts on our country. Let's be clear. Failing to support our nominee is not just a minor issue. It's a major risk. If we allow ourselves to remain fragmented, if we continue to engage in infighting and holdouts and petty bickering, we are handing victory to our opponents on a silver platter. It's time to put aside personal grievances and pettiness and focus on the bigger picture. The path to victory is clear, but it requires all of us to stand united. Let's honor the legacy of Ronald Reagan and embrace his wisdom. Let's focus on what unites us, not what divides us. Together we can ensure a future that reflects our values and safeguards our nation's prosperity. After all, who really cares what Dick Cheney thinks and who he's voting for anyway? We'll take a quick break and then Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice will join us to discuss a story that broke recently that shows that multiple school districts in Kansas and Missouri have implemented policies permitting students to keep their gender identity hidden from their parents. Talk about parental choice. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's #1 talk. I'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Every Thursday, Americans for Prosperity Action activates the largest grassroots community operation in the country. Folks join together and phone into key federal races across the U.S. You can join AFP every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. Central. To phone for freedom, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And while you're online, don't forget to find and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Recently, Parents Defending Education obtained documents via FOIA request revealing that multiple school districts in Kansas and Missouri have implemented policies permitting students to keep their gender identity hidden from their parents. In some cases, the districts were going so far as mandating staff and students to use the preferred pronouns of other students and proceeding to educate staff about transgender issues like a, quote, gender-bred person, whatever the heck that is. With us now to expose this recent assault on traditional norms and, frankly, reason is Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice. It would be laughable if it wasn't so dangerous. Brittany, thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me on, John. I mean, it is just completely outrageous, some of the stuff that is actually happening in Kansas schools. You know, we started out with the gender unicorn. Now it's the gender-bred man.
Yeah.
And this is real. Like, we're laughing about it, but I've seen these documents. Like, I have seen children bring these home to their parents. These are real documents. They're really trying to teach kids this. Like, just, I'm sorry, it's crap. Like, they are trying to completely brainwash children. And thankfully, we've had some great legislators and local officials who've stood up in certain areas to a lot of this stuff. But you think this is only happening in New York and California, but it is absolutely not. Like, parents need to be on their guard. They need to know what teachers are being trained to say, and they also need to know what's going on in their kids' classroom.
Well, Brittany, every school district in America that insists on hiding information from parents needs to be called out and exposed.
Yeah.
What Missouri does is, well, it's Pete Mundo's problem, but I can do something about Kansas schools. Do you know which schools in Kansas have these policies in place?
Yeah, so it's a little bit of an interesting game of our friends at the Parental Defense Fund have you know, FOIA'd a lot of these documents and you know, we know that KCK has a policy like this. We know there are some schools in Wichita and Mays that had policies
really?
Like this. But then when you go and talk to the schools, they're like, oh, that's not actually what we meant, or that's not what we're doing. When they got called, a year and a half ago, when we were passing one of the versions of the Parental Bill of Rights, you know, all of this came out, and the school districts immediately were like, oh, no, we're not doing this. But then they're like, well, what are you doing, and why did you turn over these documents when you were FOIA'd that are instructing teachers to hide this information from parents? And you know what? A lot of teachers in Kansas actually have common sense. They don't want to do this. They don't want to use a pronoun that doesn't match the child's biology. Like, they know the difference. They know the difference between right and wrong. And it's putting teachers in a horrible position. I mean, you know, of course, there are always teachers that are part of the agenda. That's fine.
Oh, I'm sure.
But the majority of Kansas teachers don't believe this crap. Like, they just want to educate children. And so how do we defend parents' rights? How do we defend the teacher's ability to not be co-opted by, you know, the teachers union or whoever it is that's making them do this?
The two issues that I would have here, first off, it reeks of a First Amendment violation to me to force a teacher to say something like this.
But and by the way, teachers in Kansas have won on that argument.
Yes, I remember seeing a lawsuit last year that came about where a teacher sued about this. But the second issue for me is they're sending a message that says, we know better than you. And I think that's, frankly, an insult to every parent in that school district, that the district is saying that we're going to inform, we're going to withhold information from the parent. And this comes back down to that Hillary Clinton, it takes a village. No, it doesn't. It takes a parent.
And that's not to say that parents don't need a community surrounding them.
Right.
But the primary authority, the primary person who is responsible for that child is their parent. And the whole concept is that parents are harmful to children. Like, no, in most circumstances, that parent has that child's best interest at heart. They know that child best, and they have the responsibility that is God-given to raise that child, not the government.
It's just so backwards. I mean, that's what I find so frustrating about this whole concept. And I'm get, you know, again, this comes back down to why we needed to pass the Parental Bill of Rights, why we need to ensure that folks, that parents have the ability to push back on these kinds of policies, and why we need to expose them when we find them.
Absolutely.
We're talking with Brittany Jones from Kansas Family Voice. I have to ask you about what we saw at the Paris Olympics, where we saw the biological male win the gold medal in women's boxing. Transgender golfer Haley Davidson moving on to vying for an LPGA tour card. We're seeing it just time and time again, these sports that are allowing biological males to compete. At what point what's it going to take before America finally says enough is enough to this nonsense?
I think in a lot of ways Americans are. I mean, we've seen more than half the states pass similar bills to what Kansas passed in the Fairness of Women's Sports. You're starting to see polling that clearly shows that people know the difference. I mean, even our governor said that she didn't support men, competing in women's sports, but then she vetoed the bill,
right?
Yeah. That to me, I don't know, but whatever. But people know. They know that this isn't right. And so it is just going to take consistently speaking up. And it's going to take, you know, students, it's going to take parents, it's going to take every level of the sports organizations consistently being willing to be bold and have courage and to speak truth to power in these circumstances, because they can't get away with it anymore. Like, they have been allowed to get away with just nonsense of allowing biological men to take spots that rightfully belong to women. And that's not okay anymore, and we can't stand for it.
No, and I think it also, it's incumbent upon people, reasonable people, to speak up about this. You know, when you see these stories, share them on social media. Make sure that, you know, if you're seeing this, talk about it. Don't be ashamed, or don't feel like you're going to be shamed into staying quiet.
Right.
If you don't like this, express your opinions, because we can't, this is not one of those issues that we're losing on. This is an issue we're winning on.
And I think the more and more people I've talked to about this issue across the country and across the state, like, they thought they were going to be the only ones when they set up. And you look at Riley Gaines, she thought she was going to be the only one,
right?
But yet she's created a movement, right? And so, like, I think people need to find their courage. They need to be willing to be brave. They need to be willing to speak the truth in love, be kind, be
right.
Loving.
Yeah.
But don't let them get away with lying about biology.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned Riley. She is coming to Wichita for the Celebrating Leadership and Courage event. It's an evening with Riley Gaines here in Wichita, coming up Tuesday night, September 10th at the DoubleTree by Hilton. And I know I've already had people say, oh, but that's the debate night. And I immediately said, who cares? DVR the debate. It's not like, look, here's the debate. Donald Trump wins. Kamala Harris lies. And watch the highlights on Fox News or on Twitter.
Correct.
I mean, you know.
I mean, what are they going to say that you haven't heard before?
Thank you.
Riley, you get to see Riley in person. You can record the debate. It'll be there. We're going to get done promptly at 9, so you can watch it. It'll only be an hour in. You can catch up. It's fine.
Right. You're not going to miss anything. Trust me.
No. Getting to hear Riley is going to be a truly special opportunity. I've got to hear her speak a couple of times in the Capitol, and she's just phenomenal. And you will leave that place feeling encouraged and inspired. It's not going to be a downer message. I mean, Riley is just truly inspirational. And so I'd encourage everyone to get out on Tuesday night. There are still tickets available. You go to our website, KansasFamilyVoice.com, you click on the events tab, you can get your ticket, but we'd love to see you there on Tuesday.
Yeah, I had someone ask me, he said, I don't want to miss the debate. I said, don't worry about it. ABC gave Kamala Harris the questions already. So trust me, you're not going to miss anything. You just DVR it and watch it when you get home. My wife and I are going to be there. We're really looking forward to it. Again, it's coming up Tuesday night at the DoubleTree. It starts at 7. There's a VIP option too if they want to actually meet Riley, correct?
Yes, so it starts at 5:45 if you want to meet Riley. There's a separate ticket for that that you can find on our website. We'd love to have you for that as well.
Again, that's...
You can meet her, you can shake her hand, you can ask her a question.
Woo-hoo!
It'll be a good time.
Well, that's what... Trust me, my wife and I will be there for that. We'll be there for the event. It's Tuesday night, KansasFamilyVoice.com. Brittany, thank you again for joining us. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
Thank you. Appreciate you. See you soon.
Yes, likewise. We'll take a quick break, and when we return, Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins will be with us to share his thoughts on Governor Kelly announcing they've got more of your money and they want to spend it. Big shock. We're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Hopefully you already listened to KNSS on your way to work, but if you tried listening before you head out to work, with the free Odyssey app, you can simply download Odyssey, that's A-U-D-A-C-Y, and search for KNSS for your news, weather, and traffic updates whenever you need them. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and True Social pages, and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, Governor Kelly earlier this week said August state government tax revenue of nearly $23 million above projections reflected greater than last year collections of your income tax and retail sales tax. Whoopee! Topeka collected more of your money. Isn't that great news? Kelly said total state tax revenue for the month hit $665 million, which was $22.8 million and 3.5% above the estimate developed in April by state budget and economic analysts. Tax collections by the Kansas Department of Revenue during August were 4% higher than in August of last year. So what does this all mean? Well, let's ask Speaker of the House Dan Hawkins. Dan, it's a pleasure to have you with us again, my friend.
Well, it's always good to be here, John. But what happened to the Laura Kelly bumper music?
Yeah, well, you know, Phil and I were just going through that, and we're out of practice is what it comes down to. Phil is my new producer. And you know what? I think actually we were having a brain. We were having a senior moment. We were having a Joe Biden moment. Neither of us could remember what it is.
Look, I was depressed. I was really ready for that Laura Kelly bumper music, and it didn't happen.
We honestly couldn't remember it. All right, Dan, what is it? We can't remember what it was. It was like,
I don't remember, but if I heard it, I'd tell you.
Trust me, we will figure it out. It's just Aerosmith. I can't remember what it is. It's driving me crazy. But yes, we will get it. Trust me.
Got to get it back.
I know we will. Well, I mean, this is so frustrating. Laura Kelly has even more of our money than expected. And, you know, I guess what I drew from this is that she could have afforded the single rate tax cut that you guys proposed. But this just means that she could have afforded it. But turns out she just wants to spend that money.
Well, you know, John, here's the deal. You know, Laura Kelly says a lot of things that are, I would say, very political in nature for her. She's the governor that's not political, but she's very political. Quite frankly, she vetoed four tax bills that had a property tax decrease in it, and she vetoed them all because she said, you know, it was fiscally irresponsible. And quite frankly, she's not responsible to the taxpayers, and you can see that in everything she does.
There you go, Dan.
So there
it is.
Go. That's the one. That's the one. Now I'm feeling good.
Now we're feeling really good. We're not going to take it anymore.
Not going to take it anymore. Yeah. So you know, when we had the special session, she brought us back for a special session, and we were able to pass a tax bill without the property tax relief.
Right.
Simply because she said that we didn't have enough money. Well, we've got plenty of money. We've had plenty of money. And when we come back in January to session, I would say we're probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of $4 billion in the bank. And it's growing. It's continuing to grow. we are going to push for property tax relief. Now, everybody knows that the only thing that we have in the form of property tax is our 20 mills, actually 21 and a half mills, but 20 mills for education, which we wanted to take off 2 mills, and that's about a $90 million spend. I think we're probably going to push more for what our tax chair, Adam Smith, out of West King, Kansas, wants, and that's to get us down around that 16 and three quarters mills, which, yeah, that's $120 million. I would say with what we have, we can sustain, and it's truly going to be responsible for us to return that money to our taxpayers in the form of tax relief on that 20 mills. So.
Well, and clearly, based on what this is consistent now that we're seeing revenues coming in above expectations. So clearly we can afford to do additional tax relief. It's what you've said all along. The problem is Laura Kelly just keeps wanting to spend the money. She doesn't want to have to be fiscally conservative.
Well, it's her brand of fiscal conservatism, I would say. It's not our brand.
Right.
What she says is fiscally conservative is her having enough money to start all the programs that she wants, spend all the money she wants. That's not what we want. We want to make sure that we get money back to our taxpayers. And people across the state need to remember that. When it comes to this election, you know, do you want to continue sending more money into the state or do you want to send less? If you want to send less, you're going to elect fiscally conservative Republicans up in Johnson County and elsewhere so we can do that.
And we're not even talking about the reserves. There's still massive reserves.
No. It's just adding to the reserves now. I mean, 23.5 million over where we were supposed to be. That's a pretty good chunk.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking with Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins. Yeah. I saw another tweet. She tweets out a lot. Well, she doesn't, but someone on her staff does. But she tweeted out again today about rural hospitals and they're struggling and how Medicaid expansion is just going to save them. She is like a dog with a bone on this thing, Dan. I mean, she is just not giving up on Medicaid expansion, is she?
Well, she's not. And guess what? I'm not going to go anywhere. And as long as I'm here, I'm going to fight it to the end. We're not going to do Medicaid expansion. There was just an article came out recently. I believe we put it in the Record.
Yeah, you did.
In fact, I think it was in the Record this last Friday from a group that said that Medicaid expansion actually hurts rural hospitals, hurts rural hospitals more than anybody. And so isn't it interesting that now all of a sudden we have these articles coming out from different folks that have not been in the hunt, not in the game on Medicaid expansion, and now they're saying, listen, whoa, slow down here. You know, if we do Medicaid expansion, we're going to hurt these rural hospitals, not help them. I think that's very interesting. And then you've got a governor that continues to want to push Medicaid expansion, which he will. But Dan Hawkins is still in the legislature, plan to still be there the next 2 years, and we're going to continue to stop it.
Well, part of the problem is, you and I both know, the vast majority of the monies that come to states through the federal government through Medicaid expansion don't go to rural hospitals. The vast majority of that money goes to the large cities and the large hospitals in those cities. In this case, it would be KU Med Center, it would be Via Christi, St. Francis, St. Joseph, the big hospitals. The little bit of money that would trickle down to these rural hospitals would be a Band-Aid. It would not make any significant difference.
Let me give your listeners some figures. 25% of all Medicaid expansion dollars go to KU and Via Christi. That's where it goes. 55% goes to the top 10 hospitals in the state. 7.3%. 7.3% go to the rural hospitals.
And that gets split amongst all of them.
All of them, yeah.
So that's
like
nothing.
The lowest one's about $6,000 a year.
So that's a pit. What is $6,000 going to do for a rural hospital? That's nothing.
Nothing.
That barely nothing. Buys their toilet paper. I mean, it's not going to... That's... Again...
They might buy some Kleenexes.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So, but Laura Kelly's out there on Twitter almost on a daily basis saying how Medicaid expansion is going to save rural hospitals.
Laura Kelly thinks that is a great campaign piece to fire up her base, but that's all it fires up is her base. It doesn't fire up anybody else.
Dan, you mentioned it, I know we're coming up on a break, but I want to give you a chance again. We're through the midterms. We've had you on already to talk about it, but now is, you know, it's that time of year, and we're coming up on, you know, really the heat of it. Folks are already starting to vote in some states. There are major elections here in Sedgwick County. Sandy Pickard, you know, Sweeley out in Hutchinson. If there are folks here in Wichita that are, you know, in grassroots folks that want to door knock or get involved in some of the races, what are the big ones here down in particularly in this audience listening area that they should be working on?
So in our area, we've got Webb Roth down in Winfield that could probably use just a little bit of help, but he's going to do fine. He just needs a little help. Sandy Pickard's where we're really going to spend most of our time in Sedgwick County. We've got people going over and working with her. If you want to call her, your folks want to call her and go over and help walk. So that's what she needs. She needs help going door to door. Kyler Sweeley, of course, over there in Hutchinson against Democrat Jason Probst. That's going to be a big race. That's one that we can win. We just need people over there helping out. You know, then from there, the rest of them are quite a ways away. Manhattan's a big one with Angel Roser. She's got a pretty tough race. And then the rest of them are all up in the northeast, up in the Johnson County area. Randy Roth, Kurt Ruff, Lauren Bohai, and Charlotte Esau. Those are our big pickups. And then we got some defense up there that we've got to play. Carl Turner, Laura Williams, Adam Turk, a couple others, Mike Thompson. So we've got a lot of big races across the state, and we just need help in every one of them.
I've heard about another name that has come up recently, Christopher Parisho. Is that a race that we could win in the 95th by any chance?
You know, any race is possible. There's possible and there's probable. That race has Tom Sawyer in it, the Democrat that's been there for 30 some years. He's well known. I think he can put probably a lot of money in it. It still makes it tough to win, but I wouldn't say it can't be won. I would just say the probability is not so good.
Jill Ward seems to be doing okay. I mean, she's up against John Burke, who was just a real pain in the butt when I worked with him in Hayesville. I'm so glad to see. She seems to be doing pretty good, though. I know she's working real hard.
Yeah, she's a tough gal. She gets out there and she works hard. She'll win it. Jill Ward's going to be a great representative when she gets up there, so I'm not too worried about her, but certainly she can use the help. I mean, she's out walking every day, working hard to win that race, and she'll win it.
Tom Kessler still doing okay down in Hayesville?
Tom is, you know, the thing Tom has is he is known by every single person in his district. I mean, you can't be in that part of town and not know Tom Kessler. And so Tom's out there working, and he's working hard. He doesn't take it for granted, but I can't imagine anybody beating him.
Okay, good. Well, and how about Cindy Howerton? She's still doing okay?
She's doing good. Cindy's a great representative up here already also, just like Tom Kessler. She's not taking it for granted. She's out there working hard, and she'll do okay in her district. Nick Hoheisel, he's okay. Nick's actually out helping some others, even though he's got a race. Pat Penn's okay, but Pat's also out there helping others. He has a race also, but he has time to help some other people. So we got a great set of representatives and candidates down in Sedgwick County, and our current representatives are out there helping everybody, making sure that they're going to get across the line.
That's what it takes. Dan, if folks want to help, if they're involved, is the best way for them to maybe reach out to Deb Lucia at the Sedgwick County Republican Party or maybe Blake Carpenter? Do they reach out to Blake? What's the best way?
I got to tell you, either one of those. If you know, Blake is kind of running our system down there. He's keeping track of everybody. He's got a spreadsheet. He has basically a weekly place for us to go. So he keeps track of where we're going to go, and he rounds people up and takes them wherever we're going to work that week. Last week, I think it was, we were in Manhattan working for Angel Roser. So every weekend, he's got a list of places to go and work. So Blake's probably, for us, a good place. Deb Lush is probably good too, but I think Blake knows exactly where we need to have people and when we need them there. So,
well, brother, I appreciate you as always. I'm sure we will have you on again before the election, but keep up the good work. If folks want to connect with you, if they want to sign up for your newsletter, what's the best way for them to reach out?
Dan Hawkins, Kansas, and Kansas is spelled out danhawkinskansas.com.
Dan, I love you as always. I'm sure I'll see you again here soon at something. We've got a lot of events coming up. I'm sure I'll see you there.
Oh, you bet. We'll see you, John.
Thank you, brother. We'll take a quick break, but before we do, I want to tell you, coming up after the break, we're going to give away two tickets to Tucker Carlson Live. Your chance to win two tickets to Tucker Carlson Live coming up immediately after the break. We'll take a quick break, then I want to hear from you and give away two tickets to Tucker Carlson Live. Listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. This segment of the John Whitmer Show, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Make your voice heard today. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org. All right. So here's your question. This is your chance to win two tickets to see Tucker Carlson Live with Charlie Kirk coming up this Friday at Intrust Bank Arena. The Kansas Republican Party has been a proud political leader across the nation. So here's the question for you with a Kansas connection. Who was the first black American to be elected to a statewide office? Hint, he was a Republican. And what was the year? In the meantime, it's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
This is an opinion from a former judge, Keith M. Alber. I am a student of law whose age is 85. My first year of college was 68 years ago. One class I took was political science. A half page of my textbook essentially outlined a few steps to overturn a democracy. One, divide the nation philosophically. Two, foment racial strife. Three, cause distrust of police authority. Four, swarm the nation's borders indiscriminately and unconstitutionally. Five, engender the military strength to weaken it. Six, overburden citizens with more unfair taxes. Seven, encourage civil rioting and discourage accountability for all crime. Eight, control all balloting. Nine, control all media. What was printed in 1954 as a possible diabolic nightmare has become an emerging reality. I hope that Americans will unite enough to pin a good finish.
Still, wow, we've had a lot of calls. Still trying to give away our two tickets to see Tucker Carlson Live. The question is, who was the first black American to be elected to a statewide office? He was a Republican. And what was the year? Also want to remind you, the Wichita Pachyderm Club luncheon coming up this Friday at the Wichita Petroleum Club. It's now the ninth floor club here downtown. And don't forget the Sedgwick County Republican Party Grand Ole Picnic coming up on the 21st. And they've got a vice presidential debate watch party coming up on October 1st. A couple of great events coming up. And don't want to miss my 60-second daily feature, the carry-on commentary. Listen to those daily, three times a day, right here on KNSS. We've got a whole another hour coming up for you. It's kicking off with, after the top of the hour break, Jeff Bluebaugh, candidate for Sedgwick County Commission District 2. In the meantime, we will continue to take calls to give away two tickets to see Tucker Carlson Live coming up Friday. First black American to be elected to a statewide office, Republican, and what was the year? See if we can give those away here in the next hour. You're listening to John Whitmer's Show. We'll be back right after this.